There's enough there to write a whole soap opera about. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I am your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the podcast that comes to you every day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in a year. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and if you're a longtime LifeSpring family member, thanks for hanging around with me again. If you're new, thanks for joining us. I don't consider you a listener, you're family. So again, welcome. It's National Cookie Exchange Day. What's your favorite cookie? Mine's chocolate chip. And the lovely Lady Leanne knows just how to make them just right for me. Not too thick, not too crispy, and not too soft. Yum. This is also the Law Monday. We're going to read Genesis 36 through 39. Let's begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would be with us today. We pray that you would touch our hearts and that you would teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 36. Now this is the history of the generations of Esau, that is, Edom. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebaioth. Adah bore to Esau Eliphaz. Basemath bore Reuel. Aholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the members of his household, with his livestock, all his animals, and all his possessions, which he had gathered in the land of Canaan. And they went into a land away from his brother Jacob. For their substance was too great for them to dwell together, and the land of their travels couldn't bear them because of their livestock. Esau lived in the hill country of Seir. Esau is Edom. This is the history of the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau, and Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam and Kenaz. Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore to Eliphaz Amalek. These are the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Reuel: Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. She bore to Esau Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs of the sons of Esau: the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, Chief Teman, Chief Omar, Chief Zepho, Chief Kenaz, Chief Korah, Chief Gatam, Chief Amalek. These are the chiefs who came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Adah. These are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son: Chief Nahath, Chief Zerah, Chief Shammah, Chief Mizah. These are the chiefs who came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Aholibamah, Esau's wife: Chief Jeush, Chief Jalam, Chief Korah. These are the chiefs who came of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these are their chiefs. These are the sons of Seir the Horite, the inhabitants of the land: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishan. These are the chiefs who came of the Horites, the children of Seir, in the land of Edom. The children of Lotan were Hori and Heman. Lotan's sister was Timnah. These are the children of Shobal: Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. These are the children of Zibeon: Aiah and Anah. This is Anah who found the hot springs in the wilderness, as he fed the donkeys of Zibeon his father. These are the children of Anah: Dishon and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. These are the children of Dishon: Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Kiran. These are the children of Ezer: Bilhan, Zeavan, and Achan. These are the children of Dishan: Uz and Aran. These are the chiefs who came of the Horites: Chief Lotan, Chief Shobal, Chief Zibeon, Chief Anah, Chief Dishon, Chief Ezer, and Chief Dishan. These are the chiefs who came of the Horites, according to their chiefs in the land of Seir. These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom, before any king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom. The name of his city was Dinhabah. Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his place. Jobab died, and Husham, of the land of the Temanites, reigned in his place. Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who struck Midian in the land of Moab, reigned in his place. The name of his city was Avith. Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. Samla died, and Shaul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place. Shaul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his place. The name of his city was Pau. His wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. These are the names of the chiefs who came from Esau, according to their families, after their places, and by their names. Chief Timnah, Chief Alva, Chief Jetheth, Chief Oholibamah, Chief Elah, Chief Pinon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Teman, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magdiel, and Chief Iram. These are the chiefs of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possession. This is Esau, the father of the Edomites. Genesis chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land of his father's travels, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought an evil report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him, and couldn't speak peaceably to him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves came around and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Will you indeed reign over us, or will you indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him all the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brothers, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed yet another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me." He told it to his father and to his brothers. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Will I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves down to you to the earth?" His brothers envied him, but his father kept this saying in mind. His brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, "Aren't your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." He said to him, "Here I am." He said to him, "Go now, see whether it is well with your brothers and well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Tell me, please, where they are feeding the flock." The man said, "They have left here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him afar off, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let's kill him, and cast him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'An evil animal has devoured him.' We will see what will become of his dreams." Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hand and said, "Let's not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hand to restore him to his father." When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his coat, the coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not let our hand be on him, for he is our brother, our flesh. His brothers listened to him. Midianites, who were merchants, passed by, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph wasn't in the pit, and he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, "The child is no more, and I, where will I go?" They took Joseph's coat and killed a male goat and dipped the coat in the blood. They took the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, "We have found this. Examine it now, whether it is your son's coat or not." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn in pieces." Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, "For I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning." His father wept for him. The Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard. Genesis chapter 38. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned in to a man of Adullam whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there the daughter of a Canaanitish man, whose name was Shua, and he took her and went in to her. And she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Ur. And she again conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And again she bore a son, and she called his name Shelah, and he was at Kizeb when she bore him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Jehovah, and Jehovah slew him. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go into thy brother's wife, and fulfill to her the brother-in-law's duty, and raise up seed to thy brother." But when Onan knew that the seed should not be his own, it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground in order to give no seed to his brother. And the thing which he did was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and he slew him also. And Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in thy father's house until Shelah my son is grown," for he said, "lest he die also as his brethren." And Tamar went and remained in her father's house. And as the days were multiplied, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. And Judah was comforted, and he went up to his sheep shearers to Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, "Behold, thy father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." And she put the garments of her widowhood off from her, and covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in the entry of Anaim, which is on the way to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as wife. And Judah saw her, and took her for a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned aside to her by the way, and said, "Come, I pray thee, let me go into thee," for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come into me?" And he said, "I will send thee a kid of the goats from the flock." And she said, "Wilt thou give me a pledge until thou send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give thee?" And she said, "Thy signet, and thy lace, and thy staff which is in thy hand." And he gave it her, and went into her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away, and she laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid of the goats by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive the pledge of the woman's hand. But he found her not. And he asked the men of her place, saying, "Where is the prostitute that was at Anaim by the wayside?" And they said, "There was no prostitute here." And he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." And also the men of the place said, "No prostitute has been here." Then Judah said, "Let her take it for herself, lest we be put to shame. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her." And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, "Tamar thy daughter-in-law has committed fornication, and behold, she is also with child by fornication." And Judah said, "Bring her forth, that she may be burned." When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man to whom these belong am I with child. And she said, Acknowledge, I pray thee, whose are this signet, and this lace, and this staff? And Judah acknowledged them, and said, She is more righteous than I, because I have not given her to Shelah my son. And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass at the time of her delivery that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she brought forth that one stretched out his hand, and the midwife took it and bound round his hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth? On thee be the breach. And they called his name Phares. And afterwards came out his brother, round whose hand was the scarlet thread. And they called his name Zerah. Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, a chamberlain of Pharaoh, the captain of the life guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down thither. And Jehovah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his eyes and attended on him. And he set him over his house, and all that he had he gave into his hand. And it came to pass from the time he had set him over his house and all that he had, that Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Jehovah was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and took cognizance of nothing with him, save the bread that he ate. And Joseph was of a beautiful form and of a beautiful countenance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, Lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Behold, my master takes cognizance of nothing with me. What is in the house and all that he has been given into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he withheld anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And how should I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not to her to lie with her and to be with her, that on a certain day he went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there in the house. Then she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and ran out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, and had fled forth, that she called to the men of her house, and spoke to them, saying, See, he has brought in a Hebrew man to us, to mock us. He came in to me, to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, and fled, and went out. And she laid his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spoke to him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew bondman that thou hast brought to us came in to me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled forth. And it came to pass, when his lord heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, After this manner did thy bondman to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's lord took him and put him into the tower house, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the tower house. And Jehovah was with Joseph, and extended mercy to him, and gave him favor in the eyes of the chief of the tower house. And the chief of the tower house committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the tower house, and whatever they had to do there he did. The chief of the tower house looked not to anything under his hand, because Jehovah was with him, and what he did, Jehovah made it prosper. Chapter 36 was mostly genealogy. Chapter 37 was mostly about Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob. Remember Jacob? The one whose very name means deceiver? Yeah, that guy, the manipulator. Right. Joseph was his son. So chapter 37 told what a great little brother Joseph was and how his brothers loved him so. Right? Well, maybe not. Joseph was a piece of work, wasn't he? So his brothers sold him into slavery. Now I'm going to skip chapter 38 for just a moment to say that chapter 39 tells how Joseph became the overseer of Pharaoh's household. And then Pharaoh's wife framed him because he wouldn't have sex with her. You've probably heard about Joseph many times. I know that I have heard numerous sermons about him. But I haven't heard many, perhaps no, sermons based on chapter 38. So I want to take a moment to talk about that. Chapter 38 starts by telling us about an episode in the life of Judah, one of Joseph's older brothers. Judah was the one who came up with the idea to sell Joseph instead of kill him. It seems that Joseph fell for the daughter of a Canaanite man and had three sons by her. And you heard the story, so I don't have to retell it, but it ends with Judah having twin sons by his daughter-in-law. One of the sons was Zerah, and the other was Perez, or as the Darby translation we read today rendered the name Perez. Well, there's very little in this chapter that one would say would be good role modeling, right? There was disobedience to God's law on several levels. God did not want his people to marry Canaanites, and when a brother died, it was expected that one of the remaining brothers would have a child by the widow so as to raise the child in the name of the dead brother. And in this chapter, the brother by the name of Onan rebelled against that. And then Judah promised to Tamar that when his youngest son was old enough, he would give him to her to marry, but Joseph broke his word. And then Tamar tricked Judah into an incestuous tryst with her so that she would finally be able to have a child. I mean, there's enough there to write a whole soap opera about. Some sordid events, right? So, why is this chapter even in the Bible? I have a theory. Remember Perez, one of the twins that resulted from the incestuous event between Judah and Tamar? I neglected to tell you that he is in the genealogical line of Jesus. That's right. Again, we see that when God chose to be born into the world, he did not look for the perfect, and I'm using air quotes, perfect family. God brought grace to the world through his son Jesus while showing grace to a bloodline that few would have expected the Messiah to come from. Time and time again we read of how God uses deeply flawed men and women. He decided that he would use human beings to be part of his plan for redeeming the world. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But, beloved, he hasn't stopped using humans because his plan is not finished yet. Not every prophecy has yet been fulfilled. And so, just in case you might think that because of the life you've lived in the past, God would never use you, I want you to remember Genesis 38. No matter what your life used to be like, if you have given your life to Jesus and if you have asked him to forgive your sins, God wants to use you. And he will use you if you let him. Aren't you glad that God chooses to use flawed people? I know I am, but then again, if he didn't, there would be no one to use at all. Tell me what you think. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. If you're shy and you don't want to talk in front of people, you can go to comment.lifespringmedia.com and type your comment in. And my email inbox is always open to you, steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow is History Tuesday, and we're going to read one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's the Little Book of Ruth. Some of my favorite people are there. Today's episode of the LifeSpring Why Christmas Show is about why snow became associated with Christmas. James tells us the background, and I reminisce about how and where this Southern California boy had his first white Christmas. Take a listen at LifespringMedia.com or on your favorite podcast app, LifeSpring Why Christmas Show. On this date in church history, December 22nd. On this date in 1899, Dwight L. Moody died in Northfield, Massachusetts, leaving behind a legacy that continues to shape evangelical Christianity more than a century later. He was not a polished scholar or a trained theologian, and he never claimed to be. He was a former shoe salesman from Chicago who believed deeply that the gospel was meant to be shared clearly, urgently, and simply. What set Moody apart wasn't eloquence, but conviction. He preached that God loves sinners, Jesus saves, and faith demands a response. Through revival meetings across the United States and Great Britain, millions heard the gospel through his ministry. Early in his Christian life, he heard a preacher say something that lodged deeply in his heart. The world has yet to see what God can do with a life fully surrendered to Him. Well, Moody later reflected that those words challenged him profoundly. By God's grace, he resolved to live a fully surrendered life. He didn't set out to impress people or build a name for himself. He simply made himself available to God, and God used that availability in remarkable ways. His influence reached far beyond the crowds. He believed strongly in Christian education and discipleship, which led to the founding of institutions that still serve the church today, including Moody Bible Institute, the Northfield Schools, and ministries that would eventually become Moody Radio. His partnership with hymn writer Ira D. Sankey also shaped how music and preaching work together in evangelism. As he neared the end of his life, Moody's confidence in Christ never wavered. His final moments were marked not by fear, but by hope. Speaking of heaven, he reportedly said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me." It was a fitting testimony from a man who spent his life pointing others beyond this world to the next. As I did research for this segment, I read several quotes of D.L. Moody. Here's one that I really thought was great. "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter." Think about that one for a while. Dwight L. Moody reminds us that God often uses surrendered hearts more than impressive credentials, and that ordinary obedience, placed in God's hands, can leave an extraordinary legacy. We'll have praises and prayer requests on Wednesday. I'll be recording that episode on Tuesday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. So please send yours in by then at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Steve@lifespringmedia.com, or leave a text or voicemail here.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
If you believe in the ministry of the LifeSpring One-Year Bible Rewind, if it's an important part of your day, please ask the Lord how you should support it. Pray about it. Ask what He would have you do, and then go to lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
LifespringMedia.com/support.